Yes, it's been kind of one of those seasons, hasn't it? Yep, I'm up, they see me, I'm down. I know lots of people right now that are experiencing that. But understand something, that doesn't mean you're out. You get back up. I want to talk to you this morning. I use the word talk. I watched it was actually very good. It was a preacher. He was preaching to preachers. Don't know who he is. I just was getting ready to go to bed, and sometimes by the time I get off the couch and go to bed, I'm awake. Anybody else like that? So I'm like, ah. I've just learned to just start watching some videos or looking at stuff and reading. Last night, I even went to bed around 11, and I'm pretty sure it was closer to 2 by the time I actually went to sleep, but I was reading some stuff on this message that I'm going to do today, doing some study. But he was just talking about the difference between teaching and preaching, and we got so many preachers today that are just doing teaching. Now, I like to do teaching, and the message of This Is Us is nothing more than a teaching. It is going to be the history of us, and I'm not going to do it consecutively because we're talking 2,000 plus years of us. And so I'm not going to try to do that all in one segment because, as I know, the Holy Spirit leads me on what I'm supposed to teach on. And one of the things that we have to remember is that preaching is using the Word of God. It should come like a hammer. It should come like a fire, and it should come like a sword. And that's the description of the Word in the Word. And so sometimes we have to be reminded of our faith. You know, I can use my example. I like to use my example because I know my example. I wasn't there when Abraham and Moses and Sarah and all the prophets, when they walked, but I can read what they did and I can see what they did. And now because I've had to do some of the things they did, I can understand. I understand completely what it took to leave. I think of Abraham when he's about 75 years old and he's told to leave his home, leave his family. You know, I stepped out on my own at night. Yeah, technically I was 19. I turned 19 just before then. I was 19 years old going away. Going to sleep in a hotel room by myself for the first time ever. Had to share it with somebody else. I did sleep good that night. But the next morning, things changed. That night, I'd get my first train ride. Then I'd get my first airplane ride. And then my first Greyhound ride. And then my life changed forever. But I had to step out. I had to do this. Just like Monica's going to step out on her own. She had to do this. Some of you have had to gone out to college. Some of you have gone to the military. You understand what... You were there alone. You may have had a roommate, but you were there by yourself. You didn't know this roommate. And everywhere I went, I got a new roommate, sometimes up to 80. It's a little concerning. Stuff goes missing when you got that many roommates. But you have to start adapting. You have to keep walking. You have to keep moving. Because guess what? They're in the same exact boat. They don't have family. Not likely, anyhow. Your children, when they go to school, you have to send them off on the bus. You look at the little guy. Oh, no, he ain't ready for this. He ain't ready. No, he's got to go. He wants to go. Deep, there's a part of him. He's excited. He's ready to go. I was already at work when all my boys went. But I know Mama's heart. It was breaking. Same thing as with Jesus when he came. God the Father knew. He knew. And it was breaking the Holy Spirit's heart because the Holy Spirit, I believe, is our compassion. It's our life. The Holy Spirit is here. And the Holy Spirit knows what this world will do to us. And that's why God always asks us just to trust him, to walk in faith. I'm going to try to remember this because I knew I should have got up last night and put it in my wallet. But I came across a fortune cookie the other day. And I read the fortunes. I don't believe them as my horoscope. Just so you know, I play a game with them. I'm not going to tell you about the game. You add words. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes you're like, this was one of those. But as I read it, the Holy Spirit showed me a truth in it. A wise man remembers the importance of a child. See, not only is it our future, but there's something about that in the Bible. So first off this morning, we're going to look in James chapter 4. Did I turn that on? There we are. Did you have to do that? Okay. I just wanted to know before I'm standing up here pushing my button. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. We're to humble ourselves. That means to make ourselves lowly. When we came in here and prayed, now we didn't have to lay on the floor. Everybody, oh, if you're not laying on the floor, you're not humble. I ain't gonna lie. There might be some time I lay down on the floor, you're gonna have to pick me back up. But that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is you can lay on the floor and have a heart so arrogant that even the Antichrist will love you. Because, you see, where you're at physically isn't always a demonstration of where you are in your heart. That's why the Bible says God knows our hearts. And people love to throw, God knows my heart. Yeah, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and the body acts. But we're to humble ourselves as like children. Matthew 18:3, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now what that's telling us is that we can strive to be the greatest. We don't have to be Muhammad Ali and dance around and say, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. We know how that worked out for him. He was a phenomenal boxer. But his pride took him to a place where he would take punches. And we're not talking about punches from little guys. We're talking about punches from people like George Foreman, who can really pack a punch. There's a reason they were challenging the world heavyweight. It's because they were powerful. And his pride kept him to such a point that late in later years, his brain was mush. You can only take so many blows to the head and still be able to function. As we're learning with concussions and things like football, and I never played, got to play on a team like that, but I know all the hits I've taken to the head. Yeah, I can understand it now. So we have to humble ourselves as a child. What's that mean? I'm supposed to act like a child? Absolutely not. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I acted like a child. Children are just going to do what they're going to do. They're going to be sitting there. They're going to pick their nose. And next thing you know, it's in their mouth. And you're saying, you ain't kissing me with them lips. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. They don't know any different. Do you know different? I hope so. The only one in here who doesn't is Theo. And he's got a pass. Because right now he can't pick his nose. But you see, when we're children, we do what children do. We are supposed to trust. We're supposed to trust the promises. And when those promises are broken, we lose our trust, right? Trust is also another word of faith. That's what it means. I trust you, Lord. I trust you're not going to drop me. I was thinking about this back there a little bit ago. when you're little, your memories are kind of spotty. I remember stubbing my toes. I hated sidewalks when I was little, 3 to 4 years old, because I would inevitably catching my toes because I didn't wear shoes. And most of the summer, I walked around with the end of my toe, my big toe, bloodied because I'd catch it on them sidewalks in Cleveland. But up there in Cleveland, I remember one time my dad came home. My dad was a lineman, and he would have been about 24 at the time. He came home, and we were out back behind the house. We kind of shared a big parking area with several houses. There was this big silver maple tree in the backyard. And Dad came home one day, and I was out there playing, and he called me over. He dumped his nose bag, which is where he kept all of his tools. It looks like a feed bag for a horse. He dumped all those tools, and he put me in that. Now, mind you, this thing's only about this big around. I'm between 3 and 4 years old, so I was little. He put me in that, and he starts climbing that tree. I had no idea about how dangerous it really was. Because if you've ever climbed a silver maple, you know you grab hold of that bark is kind of shaggy, and you grab hold of it, what lets go? That shaggy bark. And anyhow, he's climbing that tree, and I don't know how high we were, but I do know we were on a branch that went out. Could we have been 10 feet? Probably, because when you're 2 feet tall, 10 feet is the world, but I'm pretty sure we were a lot further than that. And my mom came out of the house. And there I am in this bag with my head sticking out of it. And she looks up and she screams at my dad, "You get down from there!" Because my dad was not tied off. My whole faith was in my dad. And I trusted I wanted to do it again, but he was never allowed to do it again. But I just, every time I'd come out, I'm like, "Can we go?" No, no, no. He just could not do it. And I can imagine walking out there and seeing, if Angela walked out and there I was with one of the boys hanging off my tool belt. Please come down now. So you have to trust is what he's talking about. Let's keep moving here. Mark 10:14, "But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God.'" Again, not acting like children, but trusting like a child. That's what it requires. That's why you're going to need it. "God, I don't understand every step." One of the articles I was reading last night, he was talking about he was really trying to ride down really trusting God when you don't know. I had no idea where God was going with this. But I had learned enough to trust God that when he said to do something, I do it. And only in our pride do we argue with God. 2019. It's like, "Oh, Lord." We argue with God. We have a price to pay when we argue with God out of our pride. But he says, trust me. "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will by no means enter it." You have to receive God's forgiveness once and for all for everything you've done and everything you will ever do. Your sins were forgiven on the cross, but you need to repent of them. Hey, some water. Throat dried out. So you have to repent. The repentance on that part is for you. It's to clear your heart. A child, they typically don't carry this stuff around. "Well, I did this yesterday. I didn't know it was wrong. Found out today it's wrong. Okay." As a typical, we get into our tween years, just before we're about to turn 13, and then 13, something really happens, and then 18, 19, 20, 21 happens, and our brains just went out the windows. But the reality is, folks, the child that trusts their father, God has never broke his promise to us. And he said, if you will believe as one of these children. Right now, Caleb, your boys believe everything you tell them. You can tell them you hung the moon. They'll believe you. Whatever you tell them, they're going to trust you. They're going to believe you. Sometimes you may not have the right answer. Be honest. I can give you an answer for anything. That's what they taught me in the Marine Corps. You don't have the right answer, still give an answer. Now, wait a minute. In school, that got me an F. The teachers didn't appreciate that. But you're telling me that no matter what, I have to give an answer. And they said, yes, you give an answer, even if it's the wrong answer. I gave a few wrong answers. Got my butt chewed a couple times. I'm still alive. But it wasn't because I did something wrong. It's because I didn't know. That's the part of a child. That's why we start teaching them as their children. So that when they get up, they can know. Not long after your child starts walking and they realize there's stuff on the stove. There's also very hot burners up there. And if they come and do that, or they grab that pot of water and they pull it down on themselves. That's why when they're at that age, we're like helicopters, man. We're gotta watch them. I have an uncle who, when he was 3 years old, I have no idea how he got out there, but back in the 60s, they burned their trash. And so they were burning the trash out there, and somebody forgot where he was at. And they had piled the trash up over top of the barrel. And he was out there playing by it. He was curious by the fire at 3 years old. And the trash fell out of the thing on him, on fire. He is covered. Most of his chest is burnt. His back is burnt. His thigh is burnt from 3 years old. The curiosity. I'm just tired of telling them. You've got to keep telling them. No, you can't do that. It may seem like we get repetitive. You're going to have to. And God keeps telling us, you don't need to do that. You shouldn't do that. Not if you want my promises. My promises do come with a catch. You have to do as I said. Because you'll understand later completely. Luke 18:17, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to believe him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. My job as a pastor is to teach you, to try to get you, to encourage you, to press in and know who God is. God will meet you where you're at. I don't care what walk of life you have. I don't care where you came from. God will meet you there. He will show you himself in every little detail. It doesn't matter if you're into cars, you're into sports, you're into hunting, you're into fishing. Does not matter. He will reveal himself if you're a sewer, a seamstress. The Bible used a lot of these analogies. If you're a warrior, he will show you, he will reveal who he is to that. But you have to start taking the step and trusting him. You have to ask him. You have to seek him, and you have to do it in faith. Lord, I don't understand who you are right now, but I'm going to trust that we're going to get to know each other quite well. And that's where I can say, I have been doing that. Sometimes it feels like I might be a little bit alone. You ever felt like that? It's like, God, you there? Y'all remember the book, God, Are You There? It's me, Margaret. Where you at? He said, I didn't go anywhere. Sometimes you got to be content to walk and keep quiet. God, I don't know what's going on. No, but we get anxious, don't we? I know the shoes you're in right now. I walked in them. Talk to him. Some of you may have similar shoes to step into. You have to trust God will lead you. And if he's not talking, shut up. Just be quiet and enjoy being together. You know, back when, back in 21, when Jesse was just about ready to leave, he had already quit, left his job. He's like, I'm going to take a couple weeks and just enjoy a little bit of life. And so we did a couple fishing outings. We went out to Alum Creek one day and we're fishing. We didn't catch a thing. We were from one end of that thing to the other. Not a bite. But you know what? It wasn't about catching. It was about that time. And that's what God needs. He needs that time with you. That's why we go to our prayer closets. That's the time. But we want daddy, 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 daddy. I need, I want. Not just daddy. Can I just sit with you? See, we're taught in our society that as we become men, we don't need our daddies. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if we would actually tell the wisdom that we've gained, maybe our children wouldn't have to walk the exact same road. Step in the same trap. That's why I tell on myself. I told you a lot of things. There's things I'll never tell anybody. But I'm here to tell you, there are things I've where places I've walked you don't want to walk. Things I've seen you don't want to ever see. And that's why I preach at you. Because I've got the scars. And chicks don't dig these ones. These are scars that were self-inflicted. Because I wouldn't trust God. I couldn't forgive others. And that's the first part of being a Christian, is we have to forgive daily people that may hurt us. Doesn't mean sometimes you can't stand up for people. Well, I mean, I'll just warn you, if you're ever involved in a situation where there's a mother and her child, I encourage you to walk away. I don't care if you're trying to help. They don't see it that way. They just don't see it that way. You're attacking their baby. I had nothing to do with your baby. I'm just asking you to step aside so I can order my burger. True story. And she had to eat that guy's lunch in the parking lot if they had gone out there. She had to beat him to a pulp. But in Hebrews, particularly the 11th chapter, we start talking about this is our wall of faith. It starts with Abraham. How about by faith, Noah went and built an ark? It's not that there weren't boats. I don't know who ever started teaching that message. There was no need for boats. No, never said that anywhere. There was an ocean. There were still rivers. But where he built it and the thing he built, if you don't understand how big this thing is, it's huge. And it was going to have to withstand some pretty massive waves. But we're not going to get into all that. But we are going to go back to Abraham after the flood. 75 years old. You can read about this in chapter 11, I think verse 8 is where it starts picking up talking about Abraham. And he left, by faith, he left his home. He left his father who had died, and he left the rest of his family there. And when he went out, God said, I'm going to take you to a land, and every step you, wherever your foot steps, that's yours. That is an inheritance for you and your children. Folks, he and his children walked. He went to Egypt. Do you guys realize that? God's promise is Egypt is his. Sinai Peninsula, that's his. Iraq is his. Israel has this tiny, teeny little strip. And God promised Abraham, this is all yours. However, because of a little weak moment in his faith, somebody else inherited a promise. Ishmael. All those nations around there recognize Ishmael. Not necessarily real Egyptians either, because they were already there before Abraham. So God's promise was true. But the promise was to come through Isaac. The promise of Jesus Christ was to come through Isaac. And Abraham trusted God and he left. And because he simply trusted God, you need to understand, Abraham wasn't raised in a godly home. It was godly, all right, with bunches of gods. They didn't want to make a mistake and serve the wrong one. I heard somebody say years ago, if you ever wanted to lead people to the Lord and do it quickly, go to India. They don't want to mess up and not serve a god and make him mad. They got gods everywhere. Crying out loud, their monkeys are gods. And like, y'all start chopping the heads off of those things and cooking them up, you won't have them coming up and stealing your stuff, hitting you. And every time I watch those videos, those monkeys come up and they'll just slap somebody up the side of the head. I'm like, oh no, you didn't. But they're vicious. But Abraham, he got to meet the one true God through Shem. A man we know better as Melchizedek. He taught him who God was because Shem trusted God. Shem knew God. Shem came through the flood with God. And when he came back, Abraham was called out. He trusted God. He walked. And God moved his promise. Because Abraham acted in faith of a child. You see, you know, right now, we got a video the other day, Turner's starting to crawl. He raised up and he rocks back and forth. And then he's figured out he can just kind of, once he starts rocking, he can fall forward and he can keep doing that and he can get the toy he's after. Well, as all of you who have raised your children know, that within a couple months, that's all over. Because he's going to be holding your finger, walking with you. It won't be long. Theo's going to be walking, getting into your stuff, finding your toys. No, don't break that, don't break it. Just like us. When we receive Jesus Christ in the faith of simplicity, you said it, I will believe it. You don't have to fully understand anything right off the bat. Sometimes God will explain things to you, as is the case with Mary, the mother of Jesus. That whole scenario, you guys realize it played out in Abraham's time too, right? I'm going to be a dad? I'm going to be a father? Do y'all realize Abraham laughed too? Genesis 17:17. And Abraham laughed. But not the same laughter that Sarah did. He was laughing in joy. See, everybody responds to different things differently. Some people might experience a nervous laugh when confronted with bad situations. They just don't care. No, it's not that they don't care. It's how they process. And Abraham's being told when he's nearly 100 years old that you're going to be a daddy. Pat? How would you like to get that news? Are you kidding me? I don't want to be a daddy. I got kids. I got grandkids. I got great grands, right? Yeah. I got great grandkids. How can I be a daddy again? And I realize that's why God gave us our children when we're young, so you can keep up with them. We're going to have all three this afternoon. Y'all pray for me. But you see, Abraham was told that, and he laughed in astonishment, Lord, I'm going to be a daddy. Sarah, when she heard Jesus talking about it, the angel of the Lord, She laughed within herself. How can I? He's old. He's so old. How can he father? I'm barren. How's this going to happen? It's an impossibility. That's doubt. Fast forward to the turn of the century, or before Christ, just as 000. Zacharias is told he's going to be a father, and he says, how can this be? I'm old. She's old. The angel said, I'm Gabriel. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I'm Gabriel. I stand before God. Go ahead and read it, Luke chapter 1. He said, you'll not speak until this thing is seen through. Why? Because Mary asked the same thing. How can this happen? But there was a huge difference, because the questions he said, he was bringing up was, I'm old. It don't work no more. Right? Let's just be honest. Plumbing's done. She was like, how can this happen? I've never been with a man. She had nobody. So for her to be told, you're going to become pregnant. Okay, I understand the birds and the bees here. The A plus B equals C. But it's just A. And that's when the same angel, who 6 months earlier had told Zacharias he was going to be a father. He's like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm old. I'm too old. You're never too old, FYI. I'm too young. Nope. Not too young. If God called you, God said it, trust him. But Mary, she's like, how can this be? I've never known a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive. The seed that was planted into Mary that day was spectacular. I laugh when people say, we found the DNA of Christ. Really? What's your basis here? Where are you pulling that from? See, to find out if my kids are mine, they have to know my DNA. So then, how are you telling me it's the blood of Christ? Because you would have to know God. You'd have to know his DNA too. And last time I checked, ain't one of us got a DNA sample from the Lord. You know, maybe you can do a sample rub and we can get caught in a kiss. I don't know. But it's nothing that I'm going to worry about either. Because I'm here to tell you that when you take those steps and you're holding daddy's hands, I've told you before, you're holding his finger. I remember walking with Carter. He's a little bit quicker than, a little shorter memory than 28 years ago. Walking with Carter. He's holding my finger and we're just walking. And then he'll come up to me now. He'll slide his hand. He still wants to hold my hand. I'm not his daddy. I'm his papa. But it's the same feeling all over. And so, but I know there's going to come a time. He's not going to want to hold my papa's hand anymore. Just like my boys. And I know it's coming. And I will adjust. And somebody else will have me another grandbaby. Another one will come along, and I got 3 kids, 5 years apart. I've got 30 years taken care of, maybe. And so he's going to run. He's already driving his little gator around. He's a pretty good driver. He can back up straight. Sister's not quite so coordinated on that. She has run over him a couple times. She'll get it. And then they're going to get married. And they're going to have kids. And I'll get to watch that. And that's God our Father, trusting. He expected us. He knew we were going to grow up. Lord, you don't have to hold my hand anymore on this. You don't have to balance me. I can walk. I can trust you, Lord. That's why Jesus said, "Why did you doubt, Peter?" And as God speaks to us and tells us, but there's one thing that's different between us and God. At any given time, we can reach up and take his hand. God, I'm scared. You know, we were taught only chickens are scared. You obviously ain't never been chased by a chicken. I don't know why we use that term. Been chased all over God's creation by chickens. That's why fried chicken is my favorite food. And don't get me going on the guinea fowl. Mean little things. Fear, experiencing fear, is a totally natural thing. And if you don't at any time, that means you ain't moving. I'm comfortable with my surroundings. I'm in the kiddie pool here. Woohoo! Here, how about we go out there in the ocean? No, I'm okay up here by the edge, splashing in the waves. But there's deeper water out there. You can jump, you can swim. I mean, I know there's sharks. I'm going to just stay right here on the ground. I'm not going to fly. If God meant me to fly, he'd have put wings on me. That's why he created Orville and Wilbur Wright. So we could fly. If God wanted me on a motorcycle, he'd have put wheels on my feet. Then I want to see you walking every way and don't go getting in your car. Just saying. Motorcycles been around just about as long as cars. Oh, wait a minute. Bicycles were around before cars. Oh, no, just shut up. Step out in faith. Each new stage of our life, yes, it's a whole new thing. You know, and thank God that he's not an earthly father. Because sometimes we do stupid things. Not meaning to be stupid, we just do them. I'll tell them myself. Now, this was with Carter. Back in, was it 20? Yeah, it was in 20. I was still recovering, breaking my back. I was told I could walk. So Carter and I, we went to where I hunt. And I had my stick, and we walked. It's like 600 yards back to that area. We were going to look for deer antlers. And what would he have been, 2.5, 3? And we're walking back here, and you know, he kept right up with me. And we go in there, and there's a runoff creek running through the one section of the woods. And we had to cross it. Normally, if I hadn't been in the situation I was, I'd have grabbed him and jumped across it. But as it was, I heard that. Mom, you might be needed. Aisle 3. Oh, Dad. I think the whole church heard that one. That's all right, buddy. It ain't the first time. But anyhow, and I picked him up. I'm like, oh, we got to get across, and there's water flowing through it. I'm trying to explain to my 3-year-old grandson, Papa's going to throw you across the creek. Land. I know he knows how to jump. Okay, he jumps off the furniture at that point. So I pick him up, and I pitch, just, I mean, the creek's this wide, okay? It was just we had a step down that far that, due to my back, I couldn't do with him. Poor guy forgot to land. Poof.
on his face. He got up and the look he gave me. What'd you do that for, Papa? What'd you do that for? And as I got wobbled my way across there, I said, buddy, I'm so sorry. You were supposed to land. We do stupid things. And I hope that Dad has never put any kind of fear in him when he goes out walking with Pawpaw. But that's just it. God's not going to throw us. And if he does, he's going to throw us knowing we're old enough to land. Carter may not have fully comprehended what his job was. So that's all my fault. But now, I don't have to pick him up, throw him as a Carter, jump across the creek. Monica, jump across the creek. By the way, she wanted to do that as a point of no return. To let you know she's accountable now to what she's doing. Oh, I think I just need to keep it all quiet. Oh, go ahead. I don't care. But she knows what she's got to do. I know some of the crap she's been through in the last several years. I know some of the personal attacks she's taken from people that called themselves friends, people that called themselves family. Some of y'all might have went psycho on them. And this woman was raised by a Marine. So I know what she's thinking. And she didn't. She didn't act upon it. Now I know some of you got some other things. But I'm here to tell you, just trust him as a child. As a 3-year-old in a tool bag. Hanging approximately, I'm guessing, 20 to 25 feet off of the ground with a man who is not strapped to the tree. He never fell. I've only seen my dad fall one time. And that's because physics will always win when you extend a ladder out too far beyond a 45 degree point and go to the top of it. Fortunately, he was 6 feet off the ground and landed in a bush. Ain't gonna lie, I laughed. I had to. Because he was madder than a hornet when he came up out of there. But it diffused the situation. Just remember to trust God with the faith that your children, grandchildren, whoever. We were all children, so that's one thing we have in common. We know how to trust. We just got to get back here, because the problem is we lose our trust because people have lied, they've used us, and they cheated us out of stuff because they didn't want to fulfill their promise. All right, let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. We can call you Father. We can call you Daddy. Lord, we are truly sorry for the times we apologize, for the times we've not trusted you. You've never lied to us. You've never left us alone. And Father, even though we felt alone just because we weren't talking, we realize you were there. We just needed to shut up and be with you. Enjoy your presence and find the joy that is with you. Lord, I pray that we all can do that. As we step out in faith, we walk in our faith. We trust you. Lord, as a child trusts its parent, no normal parent wants to hurt their children. But they want to nurture them, cuddle them, love them, Father. Father, I know that those parents who do hurt are only acting out because that's what they know. So, Father, I pray for those, either at home or who will see this or hear, who have been hurt by lies, by lack of love, by lack of trust in them. Father, I pray right now that you move on our behalves. Help us, Lord God, to overcome these things. I know you will. Remind us time and time again, Father. You're there for us. And as we grow, there are things you expect us to do, because we should be able to, just like Jesus said to Peter. But then there's those times we have to trust you without you being right there, that you will go before us. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, our hearts this year. Father, I thank you that as you're going about moving in our lives, Father, right now we also pray for those involved in whatever these sirens are for. I ask, Lord God, that you move. Whoever they may be going to help, you touch them. Lord God, give those bringing aid wisdom and safety in Jesus' name. And Father, I bless these people here today. Move miraculously in their lives, Father. And Lord, I know as the doors have opened, it's a hesitancy sometimes not to step through. But Father, if we're stopping your move from happening in our lives, kick us in the seat. In Jesus' name, amen.